Voyeur Window, where we take a peek into the world of sexual fetishes. I'm Empress Violet.
And this is Mistress Jane. Welcome to the show. Our stimulating topic this week is voyeurism and exhibitionism.
And really, that is the core of pretty much any fetish you can name.
It is. Most certainly.
And that's why we decided to kind of center our show around that, because you can hardly name one that doesn't have that at its core, and we've just had so much fun experimenting with both of those topics in our personal lives and now in our extraordinarily erotic work lives, right, Jane?
Exactly. And I think, too, that it's something that people don't always recognize as being such a core thing. One of the reasons I was so excited that we discuss this and we bring it more out into the open is that a lot of people are a little bit embarrassed about their needs. They are. They're embarrassed about the fact that they like to watch, or more importantly, they like to be watched. I mean, I was talking with my friend about this today. I called her, and I was talking about the show, and she was telling me, she made an excellent point. She says, you know, when you hear these phrases like peeping Tom, you know,
yeah,
or for women as well who really like to, and men, you know, if men like to exhibit themselves, you know, there's always those jokes about the flasher, the streak, I mean, all of it,
mm-hmm,
when really it is a basis of so much fetishism, and even if we just want to go there, like natural sexuality.
It is.
I mean,
probably the main thing we do in our work as world-class sexual fetish phone artists is that we reassure people that fetishes are normal, and pretty much everybody has one, whether they talk about it, whether they do it, whether they fantasize about it, everybody has one, at least one. Me, I've got a good number, and I, Jane, I can't even count yours.
Exactly. And I add new ones, like, every week. So when I discover them, and it is amazing because it is still, it's open, as we are as a society. I mean, you can turn on the TV or, you know, the computer, and you can find so much, but there's still that little bit of, except for that. Or,
yeah,
you know,
oh, yeah,
things are like on the fringe. When I know tons of people who do it. Trust me, we are not alone, Ms. Violet.
We are definitely not alone, thank God. But, you know, I think you're right, Jane, that people's minds go straight to negative aspects like things that are illegal, peeping in windows, exposing yourself in public on purpose to women. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about sane and sensible ways to indulge in a fetish. And some of those ways can be things like having your spouse or boyfriend, girlfriend watch you from another room while supposedly you don't know, and maybe you perform a little eroticism for them to watch and feel titillated over. Or it could even be something like doing something on webcam for a consenting viewer. Now,
right,
that's a big one. That's really popular. And thank God there's voyeurs like ourselves to enjoy watching that.
Yes, and watching it quite a bit. Tonight's topic brought a fabulous memory to my mind. When I was doing professional domination sessions, I had gotten this awesome phone call. Oh, it was so awesome. From this gentleman who first asked me, you know, if I had any, you know, dominant, or he says that she does any friends that would like to be in a session. And I said, well, that really depends on what you want to do, because everybody has their own kink. And he said, well, I'm not really submissive, but I am an exhibitionist. And I immediately was like, sign me up.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You good person?
Yes. It was like, oh, you're going to come in. This is going to be awesome. And so I had called some of my friends, and some were very kinky. Some actually were more of that hidden kinkster. They weren't as open about it. One girl I had gone to high school with, you know, I'm like, hey, you want to see a show? And he had come in, and it was the coolest thing, because this gentleman was about 45. And to look at him, he had what I like to call a, boy, we're going to get letters about this, but I like to call a husband body, where you're not that totally buff because, you know, you're married and you're comfortable. You got
you're eating
tummy.
Well.
Yeah, you're happy. You already got her. You don't need to go to the gym 3 times a week. Yeah. But he had like that husband body. And he was a very unassuming looking individual. Like, he was just somebody that would blend into a crowd so easily. And he was so excited when he came in, and I noticed, you know, he had his music player with him. He's ready. And he said, well, I set chairs around because he said that he was going to entertain us and that he wanted this to be a surprise. So I'm like, oh, I can't wait. You know, so excited. So I've got my girlfriends, and we've got our chairs like in a semicircle. And he had gone into the bathroom, and then he sticks his head out because he had to change. I'm like, oh, there's going to be a costume. You know, yay. And he sticks his head out, he goes, hit the music. And I hit it because he had made like a little mix CD. He was ready. And he comes out in this old school, absolutely awesome Chippendale stripper outfit. Remember when they used to have the little cuffs and then they were bare chested?
I've seen pictures of that, and they had bow ties. And
yes.
Bare-chested. Yes.
Yes, and then
I've
they were a little black.
Pictures.
Yeah, and he had on black underwear. And that was it. And he starts working his groove thing. And Violet, I am so happy. He is putting on a show. He is dancing. I immediately, like, get up, run to my purse, looking for singles. My girlfriends are, like, doing the same. Because we're going to pay him now. He had stripped off his underwear to expose this awesome silver thong that he had on underneath, and his performance went on for 30 minutes straight.
Let me point out,
yeah,
for those of the people listening out there who are not kinksters to our level may not understand this, but let's look at this. In a scene like this, the guy dancing around in a little song, putting on a Chippendale show, he is the exhibitionist. And
yes,
Ms. Jane and her friends sitting around enjoying that show, they're the voyeurs. And so that's why it's the yin and the yang of that fetish. It takes both to make it work.
Exactly, and it does. And the thing that was so incredibly attractive, because I was actually very aroused by his performance, and I know I was not alone. I mean, my one girlfriend made a comment about how happy her husband was going to be when she got home and woke him up. It was a freedom. He was free. He was sexual.
I bet you made his year.
Oh, he made mine. I mean, I was so happy. I mean, he made mine and my girlfriend's, because there was just like, I don't remember. I mean, yes, he was so in his zone and having a great time. And, you know, a little silver thong does not hide a lot, put it that way.
No.
Very excited.
No,
very excited.
Pretty revealing, to put it mildly, yes.
Yes. So you could see what was going on. He was happy. We were happy. But it's one of my favorite memories, too, when I look back, because you saw someone that you would never expect to be. You know, sometimes I think we all fall into that, where you don't expect this, and then there's this gorgeous surprise about it, and just this inherent sexual energy.
But isn't it interesting how that is it is such a hard thing for many people to just come out to their significant other and say, you know, I have this really big fantasy where I'd like to dance like a male stripper and have you put singles in my song, and they would rather go to a stranger. It's easier to go to a stranger than tell their significant other. When here's my thinking on this, because if you didn't know that I was the kinky girl I am and you just met me, let's say, at the grocery store, you would think, oh, that Violet, she is so sweet. She is just the girl next door. Well, let me tell you something. I have done belly dance for the men in my life, you know, different boyfriends, significant others, private belly dance, very erotic dances, and I would like, if my man, my current Italian stallion, would just lock the bedroom door and put on some music and do a little sexy dance for me. Oh, I would love that. Yeah. Bring it on.
Mm-hmm. I make my slave Davida dance for me. I also, you know, I also, from an extremely voyeuristic thing, like you said, how nice would that be when they do that?
Yeah.
And how intimate, too, when you think about it. Is that act? I mean, you know, I have found it even with that gentleman to be very, very intimate because there's just that connection that you can make with people. There is, when they're free and liberated.
Let's talk about why somebody might want to be an exhibitionist. Let's start there. Well, let's say, like you said, that gentleman who came to see you for that session was very innocuous looking. Oh, he just came in to do an erotic dance for me, I think. He just bounded in. I think he's listening to the show. Woohoo!
Good.
With
Tell
a big
him.
Smile on his face.
Take pictures.
Hey,
take
I will.
Pictures.
I will. I love it. He's so kinky. But what was I saying? It totally wiped my mind.
You know what? I bet it would. But what we were discussing is how people enjoy being an exhibitionist.
Because that man, you said he was very innocuous looking. He could have blended into a population. He doesn't stand out. What are the odds that he's gotten a lot of attention from females? Pretty low.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
So a fantasy would be he's always wanted to be one of those studs who girls fall all over and, you know, they look at them and flirt with them on the beach and they flirt around and hang around with them in clubs, and he's never been that guy. So maybe his fantasy is to be somebody that girls will want to look at and admire and get turned on by.
Exactly, and I think that is because don't we all want to cast off, like, really the shackles of propriety, honestly, and just be that center of attention and let it shine through? And I think that a lot of people who are exhibitionists, on the flip side, too, there are people that are very confident that do enjoy showing themselves off. You know, they do. They like that. They love the idea of giving someone else pleasure. I do believe that exhibitionists really are pleasure givers as well. I think as a whole, they're incredibly giving. You know, when I was watching that man dance, too, I thought that he would be excellent, an excellent lover. Because if you can be that wild and you want to make me happy, and you're doing this, I mean, you're going to be pretty knockout in the set because you're going to be one attentive man.
Plus, a good friend of mine said she learned a long time ago, if a guy can dance really well, he'll be an excellent lover. So there you go. Enough said.
Mm-hmm.
But then this whole thing of being exhibitionist, it can go to extremes as well. And I will just say I've had callers who call me and say, it's midnight here. There's no one in the park. I'm standing in the woods, and I'm wearing, you know, a bodice, a pair of panties, thigh highs, and high heels. I'm like, what are you doing in the park? Well, I want to go for a walk, and I just want to go for a stroll. So for them, it's like they don't go there when there's other people there. They don't want to be seen. They just want to go. They want to be outside, and they want to feel the air on them. They want to have that naughty feeling of doing something taboo, but they're sane enough that they don't want to go someplace like the mall parking lot at midday and do this, or, you know, in a place where you're going to get arrested. That's not what we're advocating here. So it can go to extremes, but, you know, we do our best to guide them to be smart about it.
Exactly, and I think a lot of the times, too, when things go to extremes like that, where there are those issues with exhibitionism or voyeurism, I also think it is because they're not guided in that, and I think that part of it is because of a huge amount of self-denial. It just builds up and builds up and builds up, you know, until all of a sudden it's noon and you're standing outside the Walmart. I mean, like, that's what happens. Because they have not found healthy outlets. They have
exactly.
not, they feel this need for it. And sometimes I think, too, with it can go into an unhealthy space. I think, though, a lot of things can. I mean, everything
Anything
in moderation
can.
Is a great thing.
Exactly. And, I mean, you got to mm-hmm. be smart about how you express your sexual desires and how you explore fetishes you're curious about or you know you enjoy. You still have to be smart about it, because if you end up arrested, I mean, there's so much at stake, it's just not worth it. And then the fun ends, doesn't it? So,
yes.
You know, I think there's ways to express these, and that's a lot of what we do, too, is trying to help people find fun, harmless ways to express these desires they have. And we should really talk a little bit more about the voyeuristic side of it. Like, why does a person want to be a voyeur? I think it's a very safe, easy, non-committal way to stick your toe into the kinky world by watching.
Oh, I do too, and I think it's there is something about watching that is just so awesomely dirty. It's just this. Something about peeking. And I think that takes us back, because if we all sit down and we took away when we were little and played the doctor game when you were tiny, because everybody did. But when you were older, we're not talking about like when you're little, but when you're older and you start to get curious, and there's not, you know, it's not like there's penises abounding, right, Miss Violet? I mean, and of course, most of us are not raised in a way in which we should have penises abounding at
no,
a young
but I think,
age.
I think I was a voyeur at age 5, because this first
yeah.
boyfriend I had, his name was Georgie, and outside in the yard there was like this natural grove, very thick grove of pine trees, and in the center we were playing, and he said something about, I'll show you yours, I'll show you mine if you show me yours, and I said, okay. He showed me his, I giggled, and I ran away.
Well, weren't you a tease even then? Oh, my gosh.
I
well,
remember
this
it
makes
vividly.
So much sense. This makes so much sense knowing you that you did that.
Now the story Trickster. Comes out.
Yeah. Now
but even
we
then,
understand.
I wanted to see, but I had no intention of showing him mine.
Right. No, and that is it. And most of the time we do. We go and we see these things either by that or maybe by accident, because we're peeking, because we're curious.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's thrilling. And there's a whole fetish of voyeurism as well that mainly runs around upskirt shops. I mean, there are videos and magazines.
Oh, my
and,
gosh, yes.
Yeah, and in some of them there's absolutely no actual nudity. There's no genitalia shown at all. It's
Jane,
women just there.
But you need to tell what that is, because I can guarantee there's people listening who are going, what's Upshots? I got to look that up.
Oh, so awesome.
Enlightened.
Look, it's so great. What it basically is camera angles from, let's say that I am sitting at an outdoor cafe, and I have on a skirt and I have my legs crossed. And it's taken from the point of view from a gentleman who would be sitting maybe at the table over. And that moment where I would uncross my legs to recross the other way or something like that, or to move, and you literally are looking up my skirt and you can see my panties. Because, of course, I have to make it me, because it's always about me, right? But I like it when people look up my skirt. I do. Or if you want to look at all the media things, aren't they always taking photos of celebrities getting out of limos and their panties are flashing?
Or
that's an upskirt.
Or they're not wearing panties.
Right. I know. But in most of the fetish, though, there's also some panty fetishism going on with that. That flash of color, silk, satin. Mm-hmm. But that is what the upskirt fetish is. And sometimes they'll have it, like, honestly, secret cameras they will do. And, of course, everybody in these productions know what's going on. But it gives you the idea that they don't. It's all consensual. Nobody really sells things of some poor woman in a Starbucks with a panty peek. I mean,
I have seen them where they're dressing rooms and department stores, and supposedly the women are being filmed without knowledge, but you know they are. They do have their knowledge, and so they're showing them taking off clothes, and they're down to their bra and panties and putting things on, and usually they still have their bra and panties on the whole time. But again, it's about getting that illicit peek of someone's lingerie when supposedly, quote unquote, they don't know you're doing it.
Right. And it's filthy fun. It's really exciting. It just is. It's that idea of I can see you and you don't know it. And I do think as well, you know, from a dominant point of view, there's a bit of control there. I think that the voyeur does have sometimes a little bit of a control kink, because there you are unawares, for people who enjoy that, and I can see your panties or your underthings, or for gentlemen, You know what I'm looking at. I mean, there it is. And that's fun, too, because, I mean, it also goes, I've seen it as far as just voyeurism videos, you know, because it's a kink of mine. They have it where they try to shoot it actually, like, through a window of people changing. Or at times, I had run across one that a friend had, it was like a Christmas present had given me. Several years back, and it was people, gentlemen, masturbating, but it was taken, like, from a closet, one was through a window, and it's just so interesting to see, because you also always wonder, don't we, what people do when they're alone. It's a great mystery. What do we do when we're alone?
And, you know, I'm sure that you've gotten callers like I have, Mistress Jane, where they want to pretend that you and the neighbor girls are out on the patio and they left the window open, the curtain open 6 inches, and you peek in and you see them masturbating there on the sofa.
Yes.
And there's no girls there. There's no window with an open curtain, but they really get into it. And I tell you, it's, to me, a lot healthier that they act it out this way and fulfill their fantasy this way than going in some other direction that leads to bad things.
Exactly. And I think, too, that, you know, there is a misconception that a lot of times people say, like with those fantasies, because I've had several callers where the fantasies do revolve around that. And one train of thought is that people kind of get off on the shock value, okay, on that, I've seen somebody through the window. You know, and that's where the exhibitionist really enjoys it. I've found overwhelmingly that the calls do take a turn of the giggling, and they're not shocked. They don't run away. When I'm doing these calls, I don't run away. Oh, trust me, I keep peeking. And sometimes they go into a level of I'm watching and I'm turned on, and so are my girlfriends. Or a continuing call, because a lot of our callers, you know, we call frequently, where it keeps the fantasy role play keeps going on, in which now I'm recruiting other friends to come and watch, too, but we always will return to peek. And there's always that cute little dynamic of, I have to be quiet, you know, while they do it. I think that's always so cute.
Oh, yeah.
But it is there, and it is fantastic. And I think, though, it's not always about the shock. It is about wanting, once again, to make people happy and to be that center of erotic looking, of eroticism, because I've always been shocked, you know, which, trust me, nothing shocks me. You know me, Violet, but have you
thinking,
well? Yeah. No, but we've discussed this before. I think it is because I am such a hedonist, and so are you, that at times some things that I consider where, you know, this is no big deal, and I respect that are huge deals for other people. A lot of people fantasize so deeply about being able to do these things because they consider it taboo. I know a lot of women and a lot of my friends because, you know, I'm the first one to say, try this, do that. Or if somebody needs help with, like, my boyfriend said he wants to be tied up, they call me, you know. And I'm like, I'll come right over, you know. I'll be right there. And but the same thing as being actually sometimes nude and having somebody watch you, or more importantly, this huge taboo that also men have, which really would be masturbating in front of another person. I mean, sometimes, you know, and to all of our listeners, I met men that have actually denied that they spank the monkey. I'm like, really? You're nuts. I mean, you know, so they're going, tell me another big lie. Go ahead. But it's because sometimes it's not acceptable for whatever reason to them, and of course that's what they most desperately want to share and to do. It is.
I say spank away.
Yeah. Yes. That still is something that shocks me, that is such a huge thing, and it is for women to do in front of their lovers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always like, really? That's what your hang-up is? Well, I'll watch you. You know, I always offer my services first.
It's interesting that a lot of them have talked to their wives about it. Their wives don't want to watch them do that. They don't want to be a part of that. And so then that leaves that guy little alternative. If he feels like he really needs to fulfill that need, then he's going to seek it somewhere else. And so that's a lot of what we deal with, too, is somebody just has, like, they're so happy in their marriage or their relationship with a girlfriend, but there's that fetish that person in their life is unwilling or unable to be a part of, to acknowledge with them, or they're too embarrassed to even tell the woman they have it. And this kind of stuff, this exhibitionist, this voyeuristic stuff, I mean, big time falls into that category, the need to masturbate in front of a woman. And,
right.
You know, just trying to make somebody, to have a guy feel okay about it. It's all right. You know, it is hard to find, in this crazy world, hard to find one person who can satisfy every single need you have in your life. If you have somebody who makes you feel loved, who takes care of your physical, your mental, emotional needs, who is a great lover, totally there for you, but they're not into foot worship. Is it a horrible thing to call a line to have somebody indulge your foot fetish? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
No, and I agree with you because I firmly believe that without those outlets, relationships suffer, and it can be the doom of a relationship. It can, because when someone is not satisfied, what happens is, and especially if it's a discussion that's been had, see, that's when it's even harder. Let's say that the gentleman says, you know, like you had said, I love feet. And she's like, don't even touch them. I'm wearing socks to bed. You know, for whatever reason, it's not working. Now, he can either find a safe, and I'm not saying that I do not consider people who call me my friends or the people that I play with my friends, because I do. But we're not a threat. I mean, that's the thing. We're not a threat to your relationship. If anything, we really respect your relationship. But when you don't have that outlet, you will start fighting with your partner about everything else but that subject. Truly. I mean, you will pick fights. You will be unhappy. You don't want to be, but you're frustrated when you don't have the outlet, and then you look at your partner as that source of unhappiness.
Jane, we have two callers on the line.
Really?
We do. We have Master Marcus calling from Phoenix.
Great.
We can start there. I think he called in first.
Wonderful. Let's
Good evening,
do it.
Ladies.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine. Haven't spoken with you in a couple months, but I congratulate you on your new show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Glad you found us.
Oh, I have no problem. I've been listening all along. Good topic. It's amazing how many people will repress desires and needs and outlets that they shouldn't be repressing. All it does is it causes negative energy to build up, and that has to be bad for their relationships.
Well, Master Marcus,
relationships.
I know you've been involved in the BDSM lifestyle for a long time. Have you ever been aware of a relationship that did not improve because the couple finally did indulge in their desires?
Yes, I would say in the examples of everybody being upfront to each other, there was one I can recall where it didn't work out, and it's because they just she didn't like his ideas of what he really wanted to do. I just remember that. It was, about 6 years ago. But for the most part, things improve. Or if it's the husband or the wife or the boyfriend or the girlfriend, it doesn't matter which one it is, it doesn't really want to indulge in a different area that would it's an interest in their partner. A lot of times they will find ways of helping them satisfy that need while being able to retain their relationship without outright violating each other's respect for their own relationship. You know what I mean?
Like what, Master Marcus?
Well, the wife, for example, that doesn't like the idea of the husband cross-dresses, but will give him private time to go ahead and do that. Or the husband who just can't bring himself to spank her because he can't do it, or he can't flog her, he just can't do those things. Perhaps it was because he had such a strict upbringing, or he just can't understand it, but will let her go and seek out in a safe, sane environment the opportunity to experience those things in a method that doesn't, in a manner that doesn't require her to submit to sexual acts, per se.
That makes sense to me.
It does to me, too.
In that way, the partner that's the most out of balance has the opportunity to get back into balance, which, of course, improves their overall relationship without endangering their partner.
Right. Exactly, because you can't go outside of the bounds. If you have boundaries you've established in your relationship, it can only damage if you step outside of that. But sometimes it is the partner who's not willing to listen to their partner's needs that is actually the one causing that damage. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, of course. If one person gets the common sense, not the guts, to just tell their partner what it is that they really are looking for, what they need, what's bothering them, then the other partner needs to respect that and listen. And they can't just make fun of the first person. They can't just slough it off. They have to address it. And if they can't address it, then they need to grow up.
Yeah, it's like if a person finally got the courage to approach you about a fetish or a desire they have, it's probably taken a lot for them to get to that point. So to blow them off, or ridicule them, or just make little of it, is very damaging in itself.
It definitely
I'm sure Mrs.
Is
James has come across quite a few people who have been harboring incredible repressing on all eight cylinders, and just gone years without being able to tell their spouse, their girlfriend, their boyfriend about things, and it's just unfortunate.
Yeah, no, and you're right, because you know what? I have come across that, and I have had people call me, and in one side of me, it's very joyful because they're calling, and I'm excited about that because there is that liberation. And on the other side, really, my mistress' heart breaks because they've said things like, I've wanted to do this for 20 years. For 15 years. And they're in relationships, and they have either been very harshly turned down by their partner most of the time. I've never seen a soft letdown with this. You know, I really haven't. I don't think that people realize, like you had said, your excellent point, how much courage it takes to tell somebody. And because you are facing rejection, and there is a lot of fear because these are things that are, you know, it's not just, you know, it's kinky, but it's not just something that you can put away if your partner says no. It stays with you unfulfilled if your partner says no.
Bingo. That's it right there. The desire won't go away. If it's unfulfilled, it'll get stronger and stronger, and it will break through in some direction. And it may be a much less desirable direction than if their significant other had heard them, understood, and found a way to make it work for both of them in some way.
Right. And, you know, I think that's something, too, and Master Marcus, I would love to know your thoughts on this. I think a lot of times partners, you know, it doesn't have to be the whole hog. Things can be eased into as well. You know, you can look at your partner and say, okay, you know, I've never done this before. You know, maybe I should call a professional if it's something that requires some technical skill or you're just confused a little bit about it. But you could grow as a couple and start out with little, tiny things. And the person with the fetishistic needs would be so happy with that because they know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. There's a willingness, you know, and an openness that's there.
Mm-hmm.
And even if, go ahead.
We have conditional relationships in most of the Western world. A relationship is conditioned upon meeting certain expectations rather than unconditional. And when you are basing your relationships on conditions, that's when it becomes necessary to start repressing thoughts because there are areas now that are going to be beyond the partner's expectations or conditions that only serves to slowly build a barrier between the two of you. You have to embrace the concept of unconditional acceptance in order to grow and then evolve. And it's a difficult thing to do because a lot of people have these ideas that were instilled in them from their parents and grandparents and they can't get away from it.
If you can't accept the person, then probably they're not the partner for you.
Right.
Or you'd be inhibiting them.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings a separate fear because you realize that that's the person for you, but if you break up, then what? You're on your own? And too many people get scared of that thought.
Mm-hmm.
That's so true. But, I mean, as a kinky woman, and this is I don't know if this has happened to you, Master Marcus. I know that I spoke to Ms. Violet about this actually recently. You know, I've been on the other end of that. I've been on the end where, because I am a very kinky person, as we all know, you know, I could prove a bit too much for somebody at times. And I like to know it right away. Because no matter how much I like you as a person and how great I think you really are, if we can't have this going on, I can't be with you. I mean, that's it. Because I know I'm going to get angry and things are going to go way bad, way fast. So, I mean, it does. It happens to all of us, I think, at one time or another that we do like someone, but then we find that incompatibility. But I agree with you. It's better to know early if you possibly can, which is easier said than done. I mean, I'm very open. A lot of people are very shy about it.
I have a thought on that. You go on your first date. Hello, my name is Empress Violet, and I like to tie men up. I like to flog them and spank them quite seriously, and I'm also kind of into feminization. You?
Yay!
And then they know. Right
up front. Out. Very
that's
up front.
That's when website dating comes in handy.
Yeah.
Without ever having to face the person, going forward.
Or how about are those dating things where you get like 4 minutes with each person and they ring a bell? What
speed
is that
dating.
Called?
Speed dating
for kinky people.
Yes. Speed dating.
And that's all you would say. You would just sit down. You got 4 minutes. You'll do your list and look and go. What do you have to say? Should I move on? Are we hanging out?
Well, Master Marcus, we're so glad that you called in and that you found us here on BBS Broadcasting. We hope that you'll be a regular caller. I know we've got another caller on line 3, and we need to bring them on.
Great.
Thank you
right.
again.
Tom,
really
thank
wonderful.
You. No problem. Congratulations, lady.
Bye-bye.
Thank
Night.
You. Night. I like him. I really do.
I do,
no,
too.
He, you know what? He's called in the past. I mean, we've had great discussions with him. He is so intelligent, but more importantly, he is just so empathic to people's needs. Which, if you're looking for a master, hey, there you go. I mean, really.
I know he's done a lot of work online with trying to help women who are new submissives and helping them avoid getting in the clutches of somebody who could be very negative for them. And
that's
hopefully
wonderful.
We can bring Jeff on the line now. Jeff from Texas.
I would like that.
Can you hear me?
Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm Mistress Violet. And hello, Mistress Jeff.
Hi, how are you?
I've
good.
Spoken
You're
to Mistress Violet many times, but it's great to get to speak with you as well, Mistress Jane. I've listened to many of your shows.
Yes, he's a big fan. Actually, Jeff is one of my slaves. So
yes,
welcome to the show, Jeff. As a matter of fact, we were doing a session 10 minutes before the show, weren't we?
We sure were, and there was voyeurism involved and exhibitionism as well.
How so, Jeff?
Do tell. I want to know.
Well, one of the many things I enjoy with Mistress Violet is, and it's not, is I just enjoy the feeling of being exposed before her, and physically is just part of it. It's also the emotional aspect of that being exposed. And I think that's a little different than maybe what you were discussing before, because for me, it's a feeling of control, and there can even be a little bit of humiliation involved sometimes, I think. But all of it's very, very exciting for me.
I think there definitely is emotional exhibitionism. And I would describe it as what you were just saying, is, you know, the emotional side of being on display, me making you admit things that you desire.
Yes.
Yes.
And then take advantage of those things.
Yes, you were just confessing a new desire to me tonight. Do you want to talk about that a little bit more? Because that's interesting.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I confessed several desires to you. I'm wondering which one you're referring to.
The last one, where you were talking about things
that
I
Oh, yes. When you were still watching me on cam, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
So our call ended, and as sometimes happens, Mistress Violet kept watching for a few minutes, and I just admitted to her that it would be a fantasy of mine for her to be able to watch me at any time she wanted, just at her whim, to have that peek into being able to know that she might be looking at me at any time.
That has come up before. I actually, when I was new working here, I had a Swedish slave boy, and I still hear from him occasionally, who he did wire. He's a computer guru, and he wired up his house so that all I had to do was log in my username and password, and I could see him from six different cameras in his house.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
so that's a great
like,
idea.
Yes. Yeah,
he's like, yes, I'm all over that. So you could put one in the closet. I could keep an eye on your cat and watch you when you're sleeping.
What?
You feel an eye on you. But, that's a hot fantasy, and I think that that comes back to that whole thing of people liking those shows where you're watching someone 24/7 as they just go about their life.
Yes.
I would love
that. Even when I was young, I would, I probably have told you this before, Mistress Violet, but when I looked at girly magazines and I saw these beautiful women, the thing that really aroused me besides their bodies, of course, but it's just imagining what it felt like for them to be exposed and photographed like that. And it was actually me putting myself in their place and imagining what they might have felt like being photographed and knowing those photographs would be published was the most exciting part.
Maybe that's your early aha moment that you are such an exhibitionist, that you had this tendency.
Yes. Looking back on it, I don't know that most people would, but yes, that was for me.
Because I've also heard from feminization people that they look back on it and they realize when they were young, like 13, 14, they were looking in girly magazines with their friends. Their friends are looking at the body parts of these women and they're imagining themselves in the lingerie. And that was their aha moment that, you know, they were more interested in being the girl than looking at the girl.
Right, and you know what, I've also heard that from foot fetishists as well. That looking early in the magazines, that the other boys were talking about, you know, their breasts, and all they could think about was their feet. And that was their aha moment, because it was like from the ankles up, whatever. But they were staring at these beautiful feet. Yeah, because oftentimes... Yeah, that's it. Oftentimes as well, they would say, if it was something that was like a nudie magazine, the feet were bare. And then I started like looking through some of my old ones after I'd heard this, and there's like a lot of foot shots in general magazines, you know, in pornographic magazines and Playboy. There's a lot of feet, you know, so it's interesting too. I have a question for Jeff, for your
Steve. Yes.
Do you ever, because if that was your aha moment, do you ever have an urge to take pictures of yourself or to have someone do that or, you know, click your webcam during your sessions with your mistress and then post them online somewhere? Have you ever done that? Or do you ever think about
that? Oh, my goodness. That's a great idea. I did, if Mistress Violet did something like that, it would. But I did at one point go to a professional mistress and gave her my camera, and she and I, because they wouldn't use their own camera, and had her take photographs of me during the session and gave them to her afterwards. And just the idea of hearing that camera click, and she had me blindfolded and tied in various positions, and it was just the camera click was really exciting, and knowing that those pictures would then be hers and in her control.
That is exciting.
But I've never posted them online.
Oh, because I mean, there's just so many venues that you can do that if, you know, Google is your friend. But there are, and there's whole forums and things that are just dedicated to that. And I would think it would be fun for you to have that thrill of not knowing who's seeing it, but there's going to be a lot of people seeing it.
There are. I mean, it depends on, like, what kind of photos you want to put out there. But whatever it is, there's a site that the whole thing is dedicated to giving you a place to post pictures of yourself so that people can see it. They can leave messages to you, comments about it. You can go check and see how many people have viewed you and what messages they've left. And, you know, that's a fun way for an exhibitionist to safely live out what they need, their desires, and get that thrill. So, Jeff, I guess you'll be doing that.
Yes, and there's one site that was my go-to masturbation material for like 3 months. I was obsessed. I believe the name is lepetitemort.com, and all it is people taping themselves. There is no nudity. It is from the shoulders up, and how you put your camera, and they tape themselves masturbating, but they really show, like, that moment of orgasm, like, right before, and the moment of orgasm, and all you see are people's faces as they're orgasming, and you can just upload that, and I am telling you, oh, I went, and just so you know, it's a membership site, but they got lots of free videos.
Wow.
And you know what, but people could upload, so... Perhaps you could have your...
Well, thank you for that great idea, Mrs. Jane.
Jeff, I have a question for you. Have you ever let anyone take pictures of you nude?
Well, the story I was telling, I was nude.
Other than that?
Completely nude.
Other than that?
No.
Never?
Not other than that, no.
Oh, my. Interesting. Yeah, there were very interesting pictures she took, too, because he's tied in really intricate knots and all different positions, and she did a great job. She did a very good job.
I bet they were beautiful.
They are.
Her bond
I think that was the
beautiful.
First picture you ever sent of me, other than your little cute face shot there.
Maybe it was.
You wanted to see if I could take it. I could definitely take it. And Jeff, lately, little slave Jeff here, we have moved on with our exploration of your exhibitionism and done spankings on cam, webcam.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about how that is for you, slave Jeff?
Well, I guess this gets into the emotional exhibitionism, because the intention and the outcome really was to have me break down emotionally while in front of you. And I guess what we found is that's exactly what happened, although it happened after you spanked me so hard you were afraid you were hurting me, and I didn't break down, but afterwards, when you were comforting me, I did.
Yeah, it was the aftercare that made slave Jeff break down.
Now, see, that is fascinating.
I thought so, too.
That is. Oh, you're a good one, slave Jeff. You really are. And isn't that so interesting, too, because once again, to lay yourself bare in front of someone like that emotional exhibitionism, I mean, it truly, I think, is just such a bond and a gift. It's, we hide ourselves both emotionally and physically so often. You know, there's just that inherent fear that people have of letting vulnerability show, and sometimes nudity equals vulnerability for certain people. You know, and to be able to do that is such a beautiful thing. It is.
It is. It was wonderful to see you let go like that, because you are such a very reserved person.
You're right.
Not a bad thing.
In my normal life, I am. I'm quite reserved emotionally, physically. I'm not the person who ever stands out intentionally. It's not that I'm weak or shy exactly. That's just my personality. But in this situation, it's a great release for me.
And that's exactly what you needed. And so sometimes the exhibitionist side of it can be a way of allowing a person who has difficulty tapping into very deep emotions to release it. And I actually have to say that's a huge factor in it. Wouldn't you think, Ms. Jane? I mean, haven't you experienced that with slaves where they are naked, they're kneeling, you're in the middle of a session, and they have this huge emotional release?
Often, and it is such a beautiful thing.
It is
such a great,
it's healthy.
Yeah.
It's so healthy.
It is so healthy, and as a mistress, I always feel so privileged to be able to be a part of that. I really do. It moves me deeply, and I think it helps me. You know, it is definitely a two-way street between a slave and his mistress, because as you lay yourself there and have that emotional release in front of me, that just builds such a trust bond and allows me also to have that with you, to have that freedom. And it's just a beautiful thing to see, because it is, it's cleansing. That's the best word. It's cleansing.
Yes.
You know? Oh. Yeah, and I just think it's a privilege. I do, to be able to witness that and be a part of that. You know, and then I think,
well, it makes me happy.
Maybe you could be an audience for me sometime, Miss Crane.
I would love it.
We've talked about that. Jeff and I have been talking about that. So, yes, I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Well, Jeff, I want to thank you for calling in tonight and, again, finding us at our new home here on BBS Broadcasting. I hope that you'll be up late and call again.
Yes, and good luck on your show.
Thank
you.
Good night, Jeff.
Good night. Oh, what a sweetheart.
Well, he is. Ms. Jane, mm-hmm. I think we have reached the end of tonight's episode.
Oh, my, that flew by.
I think we should just mention that we do have a blog site, which is www.theboyerwindow.com. And you can check us out there, and you can actually get some information on the shows we've done on another platform over the last 7-plus months and learn a lot more information about both of us, both myself and Mistress Jane there.
Exactly. That's definitely the go-to spot for us. And I'm very, very happy with BBS Radio. I just wanted to say that before we left. I'm thrilled to be on this platform. It's wonderful.
Yes, I think it's going to be fantastic. And
This
is Empress Violet. You've been listening to The Voyeur Window. Tune in next Monday night when our topic will be body worship,
which I cannot get enough of. I can't wait. Thank you all for joining us, and thank you for everyone who has followed us from our old platform to BBS Radio. We truly appreciate it. We will see you next Monday at 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time when the window opens again. Good night, everybody.
Good night.